KFYO 739 with Tom Collins and Laura Mack. On the line with us, our Congressman Randy Neugebauer, or at least that's what Ezra Klein from MSNBC, that's how he pronounces your name. Now, come on, man, get a clue. Do you think, I know that you and Rachel Maddow aren't holding hands and singing songs and stuff like that. Do you think Ezra Klein's doing this just to twist your bottle cap?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's that or if it's just in intellect level. You know, you have to determine which one of those.
Ah, there you go. Consider the source. Okay. Yeah. Okay. In the news, big time Voter Rights Act, and there are several concerns and what I feel are, I don't want to say discrepancies, but illegitimate statements, you know, by Eric Holder and some of the other people, and this guy in particular, Ezra Klein, I mean, he's just sitting there saying that, you know, this is a dagger in the heart of voter rights, and, you know, we're going to die and go to voter hell because we're discriminating against all these people, when in fact, if we are managing the database and we know who is and who's not voting, I mean, really, you know, what all these people want is they want all this information about us, and that's cool. But it's not okay to have information about voters, really? What are you thinking about this?
Well, I think we've just seen this time and time again. When this Supreme Court goes against this administration, they try to just disregard that. And this is another example where the Attorney General of the United States has said, yeah, the Supreme Court, you know, struck down Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, but we're going to slide down to Section 3, and we're going to interpret it that, we can still do this. You know, and that's just not the truth. Basically, Section 5 was the automatic preclearance for any changes that certain states have made to their voting jurisdictions or federal laws or voting laws. Now, Section 3, though, is a much higher test, and it's the test that's in place for every state in the country, and that is, if, you know, some reason a local jurisdiction or a state is infringing on the voting rights of the individuals or group, and it can be proven in court, then it can be pre-cleared through the Justice Department. It's a much higher threshold. And generally, the federal government only gets involved when the state's courts have ruled that. And so what we saw is Attorney General Holder decided, you know what, we're going to get involved in this because we didn't like the outcome of the Supreme Court ruling. And I think that's a bunch of baloney.
Do you think that they're actually, or Holder is actually trying to create another distraction away from all of these phony issues, that all these phony scandals that we have? I mean, because they aren't real.
Well, I think a lot of these scandals are real. I don't think the Attorney General thinks they're real. When we got the IRS, targeting people, you've got, all of these agencies doing things to leaking information to liberal groups about conservative groups. Those are things that the Attorney General should be focusing on instead of these hypothetical issues, particularly with, I think they have a Texas bias. And we've seen this, you know, on a regular basis with different regulators.
Well, I would have to agree with you on some points of the Texas bias thing, but as far as voter registration, I think that by having registered voters and maintaining a current database more guarantees the integrity of my vote. I mean, everybody's always saying every vote matters. But the thing is why would anyone not want every vote to be qualified? I don't understand that. I don't understand it.
They should be. I mean, that's just common sense that people because the right to vote is a very sacred right. It's people have died for that right. And so we want to make sure that the people that are voting in this country are, you know, legitimate, qualified voters. And so I think that's something that we that's not discriminating against anybody. That's just saying, actually, that's protecting voters, in my estimation, and not necessarily discriminating against them.
Right. I mean, you have to have an ID card to get your, you know, your SNAP card. You have to have an ID. So if we're giving away all this money in SNAP, then why shouldn't we have an ID for voting? It just makes sense. It's 7:44. Good morning. We'll be back with Congressman Randy Nagebauer. Collins and Mack, 7:47 on a Monday morning, back with Congressman Randy Nagebauer.
I have a question for you, Congressman, about the NSA surveillance amendments brought about by our friend Mr. Snowden. Can you explain to us a little bit about those amendments and how you voted?
Yes, and Laura, thank you for that question. Actually, there was two amendments that impacted NSA. The first amendment that came up was what was called the Nugent Amendment. And basically, this prohibited NSA from targeting a U.S. person or acquiring or storing the content of a U.S. person's communications, including their phone calls or emails, et cetera. So this really reaffirmed the Fourth Amendment. So I voted for that. So then the second amendment that came up was one by Mr. Amash, who basically eliminated the NSA program of storing of the phone data. And basically without any, with just one stroke of the pen, eliminating a program that had been extremely successful and one that currently I do not believe is a threat to individual privacy of individuals. I think one of the things, Laura, that's been frustrating about this issue is, you know, the amount of misinformation that's kind of floating around out there. And unfortunately, I've had unclassified briefings, and I've also had classified briefings. And I have not heard anything at this particular point in time, but I'm certainly watching this issue, that leads me to believe that the individual liberties and freedoms of Americans are being violated by this particular program. Basically, you have to think about this as a spreadsheet. And on this spreadsheet is the date, the time, the number that's being that's dialing, the number that's being dialed, and the duration of that call. And it's just a whole bunch of spreadsheets with that data on it.
Now, so the content, the actual content of these conversations is not documented.
The content is not in there. There's actually not the technology to be able to store every call like that. But what would happen is, let's say a bad guy does something in Yemen or somewhere, and we catch his phone, we get his cell phone. We can then take that data, and if somebody believes that it warrants then looking into that database that we have, they go back and do that. Now, when they get to a point where they get to a record that they want to look at, they still have then to go through a court process then to look into the records of that individual. But this particular program has been very effective in thwarting a number of activities that could have been harmful to our country. And so I'm very sensitive to protecting people's Fourth Amendment rights, but also trying to be very sensitive that we protect America. And sometimes that's not an easy balance.
Exactly.
But so far, everything that I've seen about this program doesn't cause me concern, but that doesn't mean that we're going to continue to review it.
Yeah.
Right.
So what people need to understand is nobody's listening in to your phone calls. If you're calling, say, your child's teacher about a problem at school, that doesn't really interest the U.S. government.
Exactly. And this is not about targeting U.S. people. This is about, but what we do know is that the enemy is embedding people here in the United States. We had these two young men in Boston. We had this army officer, at Fort Hood. And so we know that the enemy is not just over in the Middle East or Northern Africa, that unfortunately they've infiltrated our country as well, and we have to be on guard on both fronts.
Do you have numbers on how many possible terrorist attacks have been thwarted due to this effort?
Well, I think the number that's unclassified that's been talked about is several dozen, but I have reason to believe that it's been more than that, but I think that's the the unclassified version is several dozen.
Hey, Congressman, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back if you hang with us. 7:52, good morning. Good morning. It is 7:57 with Tom Cullins, Laura Mack, back with Randy Neugebauer, Congressman. We do have quite a bit of new legislation kind of blowing around the floor, eh?
We do, and this week we're going to focus on, you know, stopping government abuse. And so we have 10 bills that are going to be on the floor. One of them is to keep the IRS out of your health care, and basically that's a defunding of Obamacare prevents the IRS from implementing any portion of Obamacare. Well, another one that I like is called the RAINS Act, and basically it requires congressional approval anytime a regulator puts out a regulation that's going to have a cost of more than $1 million. What we see is that a lot of these regulations that they put out, if you after you do a cost benefit analysis, the cost will outweigh much of the benefit. So I like that bill a lot. Making sure that, for example, that the Government Employees Accountability Act. One of the things that happens right now, if an employee, a government employee, acts up and does something serious, we go put them on the leave, but we continue to pay them. And what this would provide an opportunity is if they've done something pretty egregious that you put them on leave without pay. So we're going to have a number of bills like that, also limiting some of these boondoggles that some of these federal agencies are having at taxpayer expense, being able to limit those as well. Stop targeting basically provides the termination of any IRS employee that targets or uses his position for political purposes. So we'll see these 10 bills and on the floor this week, and I think that's a good message to send to the American people, is that, you know, and this is what they want. This is the kind of government that they want. They want a government that's accountable.
Yeah, we don't want people driving all the way across town to save, you know, 2 cents on a gallon of gas just because they're spending money with, you know, their third cousin's little brother, something like that.
Well,
I mean, that's the realm of ridiculous nature that we're dealing in here. A lot of this stuff is crazy.
Well, it is. You know, it's kind of terrible that we have to pass this kind of legislation, that we don't have people in government that knows that these aren't acceptable practices. But anyway, we'll see how those go this week. I bet all of them pass.
All right, man. Keep us updated with all this stuff, and we'll keep an eyeball on that. Thanks for joining us this morning. Hope you have a fantastic day.
You do the same. Y'all have a good week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.